Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is
Sesame and Carta.
Oh, so you're going to continue with this name?
Yes.
This may actually air before the other episode, but we recorded another episode earlier where Matt decided that his name is now Sesame and Carta.
Yep. Don't wear it out.
I think you should record under that name, like, as your music name now.
That's not a bad idea. That's the thing. I have so many different names for, like, my music that, like, it's hard to, like, get anywhere because, like, I'll release, like, three songs underneath this name, and then it's like, I need to, like, coalesce this stuff.
Well, it worked for P. Diddy, or whatever his name is now, Diddy,
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. People knew who he was, though.
So
random people, like, sometimes I'll release stuff from my real name, then I'll have, like, a fake name.
I think you should go by Sesame Diddy. And,
well, you know what? Sesame and Carta could be also somewhat related to the Gator Smoke
yes.
Identity, you know?
If you folks listen to our Loki breakdowns, you know of Gator Smoke. So today on the show, we are covering the third episode of the, Marvel Disney Plus show, Hawkeye, the limited series. It's entitled Echoes, originally aired on December 1st of 2021, directed by Burton Birdy, and written by Katie Matthewson and Tanner Bean. So, what did you think of this episode, Matt?
I liked it. I liked episode one and two more, but I did like this episode. I thought it was a good halfway point, you know, for the series or season.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, I think a little bit of this, my issues with it, which I might get into as we break down the episode, is I think a lot of it is, like, for a show that's only going to be six episodes, it seemed like nothing happened in this episode, really. They don't know yet. They haven't announced or anything.
Okay, I mean, all right.
But what I'm saying is, like, for a season that's only going to be six episodes at least, it's like you're to the halfway point and we really haven't, I mean, we've encountered certain things, but it's like not much has happened, you know?
Yeah, it was not my favorite of the three so far. So,
I mean, I did like it, like I said. Okay. So anyways, we start out with a flashback to, the character of Echo, well, at least that's what she'll become known as in the future. Alacqua Cox's Maya Lopez. She's the deaf commander of the Tracksuit Mafia. But when she was a kid, Darnell Bisaw plays her as a young kid in this episode. And we meet her dad and stuff. First, we start out with her in school. What happens there, Matt?
She's basically reading lips. You know, she's doesn't really have. Just interesting. I watched it twice, and I noticed I'm like, they don't have like a person doing like sign language, like. Like, I just seem kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't have an interpreter at the school.
I just seems, I don't know. So she's, you know, reading the teacher's, you know, lips. Well, the teacher did come by and the word interpreter was there, but I didn't see anyone in the classroom. So I don't know. But, so she's, she's basically shown that she's kind of a little bit ahead of the curve of the other students, like intelligence wise, because she pretty much did the assignment on her own, like all at once. And like the teacher came by to make sure she was paying attention, but then she saw that she had already written down all of the answers, and then she drew a cool, cute little dragon figure, you know, and the homework or whatever.
Yeah, there's a definite dragon, like, you know, motif going out throughout this whole thing.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we end up seeing, like, she's a, you know, a really well-trained martial artist and stuff. We find that out. We also, where she's able to basically mimic people because of her, you know, enhanced abilities, because of the fact that she can't hear, she uses her sight to, you know, mimic people in a way.
Which, showing her echo seems kind of weird, because echo is an auditory thing,
yeah,
not a visual thing. So,
I mean, that might be on purpose, though, too, you know?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I mean, it is a cool name, but...
Yeah, the, So, anyways, her dad is killed by what appears to be Ronin. We don't know if that's Clint Barton's Ronin or somebody else, you know? It's hard to say.
Yeah.
We also, at one point, we see the hand of a guy with cufflinks and a suit who is referred to as Uncle. And, we hear a little laugh that sounds a lot like Vince D'Onofrio's laugh. So I'm not saying that it's going to be Kingpin, but I think it's going to be Kingpin.
I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, or it could just be a complete fake out, but yeah, I mean,
yeah.
He's the ruler of the, you know, the trench, well, not the trench coat, the tracksuit mafia. Wow, not the trench. No, we're not talking about Columbine here.
No. Please, no.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be him. There's no other way it could be anyone else. But.
Yeah, and in the comics, he did raise her after her father passed away. So,
it's... Yeah, I mean, yeah. So many hints that it would be weird.
And, so... We get this whole, we go to the present day, we're back to where, Clint and Kate are basically have been kidnapped by the tracksuit mafia and by Maya. And, so they're inside what I thought was like a warehouse, but it's actually a big KB toy store, which is interesting. I mean, there's a lot of motifs and stuff here about, like, you know, children and things of that nature. And, you know, we see, like, you know, the loss of innocence when it comes to the fact that Maya lost her dad. And we also have the, echoes of it with Kate losing her dad when she was young.
Yeah.
And a parent figure that basically might be evil.
Right.
So there's a lot of similarities between Kate and Maya, you know?
Yeah, a little, yeah. I think Maya is probably a little bit older than Kate, I'm thinking, by maybe like 5-10 years, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, there's definitely similarities in their... In their lives and what happened to them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting because, basically, you know, they're in this KB toy store.
Yeah.
And, like I said, there's this whole, like, you know, childish fantasy sort of thing with the fact that they could have placed this anywhere, but they placed it in a KB toy store.
Yeah, of course, exactly. With Christmas being nearby and all that stuff, yeah, too.
There is this whole thing where it's like about family and kids and things of that nature, and like the echoes of the similarities between the two characters of Kate and Maya.
Yeah.
Barton manages to free himself while they're there. There was also a funny thing. This whole dragon thing, too, is interesting, which is another thing about fantasy, I think, too. But we do know the dragons are real because we saw Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
But there's this funny thing where one of the guys in the Tracksuit Mafia is talking to Kate and talks about how he bought his girlfriend tickets to go see Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine Dragons. So yeah. It's like, you know, imagination, imagining, yeah. You know, it's they really are pushing the dragon thing lately.
Yeah.
Because of Shang-Chi, because, you know, we do know, and I don't know, is this is true or not? I read something, I can't find it anymore, but I had read that there, or heard that there was a Marvel character that actually was a dragon that came from, like, a planet of dragons, like, that was, like, the normal people.
There might be. I don't know. There's so many characters.
It was like such a peaceful society that the character kind of got bored with that. So then it moved to Earth, and then basically they also had the ability to shapeshift. And the working theory was that the people who live in Ta Lao might actually be part dragon, like,
which would make sense.
So that might be the reason why Sean has the ability when he uses the rings that they're orange colored instead of blue, because that actually may have been originally for people who have, like, the dragon blood in them, not just any old rando who picks them up, which is could explain why I forgot his name. Wen Wu, you know, he uses the reins in a very almost basic way. Like those reins are so much more potential than what he's using them for, you know? Like, he's just using them like a whip, you know, like nothing really, you know, special.
Yeah, and it's so, like,
yeah.
The other thing too with dragons, I mean, dragons are like creatures in almost, you know, they're various different cultures, whether it be European or Asian, mm-hmm. but there's also like dragons within the mythology of Native American culture too, and Maya is a Maya Lopez is a Native American, so, you know, there could be in that within her, you know, whatever tribe she comes from or anything too, there could be a history of dragons in that too. So,
yeah.
But anyways, I just thought that I did think that scene was kind of funny though. Kind of a character developing thing where Kate is seriously, she knows it's like, these are bad guys, but, and the bad, and you also get the idea that these bros in the, tracksuit mafia are just basically kind of like, you know, muscle for hire, you know? Because he's sitting there and they're having like a normal conversation about relationships and shit, you know, it's just like,
yeah, I know. I thought that was kind of cute. It's like, everything good.
Yeah. And, it also shows that, you know, it does show that Kate kind of cares too. You know, it's like, even though she may not have killed some of these guys later, but anyway, so,
exactly. Maybe it was him.
Yeah. Who knows? No.
Terrible.
Yeah. So there's like a big fight scene because Clint ends up freeing himself because they were tied to these like these little I don't know, they were like those bouncy horsey thingies, you know.
Yeah, the thing you put a quarter in, it's like a carousel type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and you said before, too, that they put him on a unicorn, and that's to prove that there's an anti-masculine agenda or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I've read that somewhere, but yes,
They put Clint on a unicorn, but they put Kate on the rocket, which implies that there's also a transgender thing going on. So, like, they're like, oh, we put Kate on the rocket, which symbolizes a penis, so we're, like, saying, hey, she should become trans, but become a trans male. And then we got, I mean,
I think what it is that people are reading into it and giving her more power, and the, you know, it should. It
I'm not kidding. If I go on YouTube, I'll be able to find at least one video where they say that.
Oh yeah, sure. So the basically during the fight, there is a point where Maya does say to Clint that he relies too much on technology when it comes to his hearing, because he does have a hearing aid. And then we have during the fight where she steps on his hearing aid and breaks it.
Ooh, yeah.
After it falls out of his ear. So Bishop is freed too, Kate is, and then the pair escape the Tracksuit Mafia to get Barton's hearing aid fixed eventually, but there was like this really cool car chase scene where they're being chased. They end up taking, instead of taking this really cool I think it was like a Dodge Challenger or something.
Yeah.
They get in this like jalopy of a car that was out there. But Clint first tells her to drive because he wanted to, like, you know, shoot arrows at people, but it ends up being where he ends up driving and she's stuck shooting the arrows.
Yeah, because she didn't know that he, you know, couldn't hear her.
Yeah.
Because of the hearing aid situation.
And so they've got, like, all these weird arrows. One of them, which is a one that shoots like this kind of like purple Play-Doh gel sort of stuff at them.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But anyway, so then at one point we do have a Pymtech arrow, which is kind of weird. You know, it's like and it's able to make something bigger. So they shoot it at another arrow and make that arrow bigger, and it drops on the Tracksuit Mafia guys. And oh, what was the name on the side of the truck?
Oh,
or on the side of their van. Yeah.
Trust a bro.
Yeah, trust a bro, like moving company or something. Yeah.
It said, smile, you're moving.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So, that sequence was interesting. What'd you think of that sequence, Matt?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like I said, you know, this episode wasn't my favorite. I mean, I know it had a lot of action in it and stuff, but, the trailer kind of made it a little bit more, like that scene where she's like, oh, you're telling me there's actually more dangerous arrows than that or something like that. Like that was like in the trailer. I was thinking that was going to be maybe like in a later episode, you know, but
yeah,
but it was all right. I mean, I do like the fact that we see more arrows that Clint has, because so far we've only seen him have like regular arrows and like explosive arrows. We haven't really seen like the weird gel stuff or the gas or the plunger thing for whatever that is used for.
Or the random USB ones.
The USB, well, Oliver Queen used that in a lot of, you know, Arrow episodes. You know, you just, you know, so that one's...
Yeah, USB one was used in What If, so...
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. But...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, anyways, we've got... they escape, and then they end up in a really cool scene where they end up on the subway. And then they're sitting here and they're on their way to go get the thing fixed, and obviously Clint can't hear Kate, and she's saying all this stuff, and he's basically repeating what she just said like it's his own idea. It's like, we should probably check on the dog.
Right. Yeah, he's been cooped up all day. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of cute.
Yeah, and it did kind of create this whole like echo sort of thing. Anyway, so
yeah, literal echo. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. so you do see the echoes going on throughout the whole episode.
And there was a really sweet scene at the apartment where Clint can't hear, and his kid calls him, and so he's got it on speakerphone, and Kate has to like basically write down what the kid was saying so he can respond to him.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cute, and it kind of also gave you a little bit more of a feeling of like, you know, what, you know, what's at stake here for Clint, where he's trying to get back home for his family. And also kind of lets Kate know that too, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyways, when they're moving to another location, the Tracksuit Mafia and Maya and everything, Kazi, who is like her right-hand man, he advises Maya not to get in trouble with her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, you know, another nod there to the uncle character, who kind of, you know, it kind of implies that she's not the head of this thing. There's a, you know, there's another bigger, you know, fish or fisk, as it might be, in this situation.
How bigger fist? Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's always a bigger fisk. Yeah, Wilson Fisk. Yeah.
There's always a chain of command for these things, and I bet you, if you even go further, there's probably someone even above Kingpin somewhere along the line too. You know, or Kingpin might not even know it, but there might be someone who's pulling the strings that he doesn't even know. You know, so and then there's probably someone above that person. You know,
It'll be interesting to see, and I mean, I think that there's going to be some reveal here where Eleanor, Kate's mom, is somehow involved in this situation, too.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be something like that going on.
Yeah. So they have that cute little scene with the son on the phone. Then they go and they get Clint's his hearing aid fixed. So intending to, learn more about the Tracksuit Mafia as well as, Jack Duquesne, Bishop convinces Barton to infiltrate Eleanor's penthouse and use her, her security company's, account to look up Bishop's security criminal database. She ends up being locked out of the system while attempting to bypass security. They do look up Kazi, and he comes up in the system. But the fact that they were even able to do any of that just proves to me how fucking bad this security system must be.
I know.
Or TV convenient, you know, it's just...
Yeah, well, yeah, it's probably TV. Well, she... Maybe because she's worked there, her mom's company for a while, so maybe she knows some ways to bypass certain things or whatever.
Yeah.
No. But yeah,
it still seems kind of convenient. Do you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the rest of the episode?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty, and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
Yeah. And we are back. Okay, so we end the episode where they're in the penthouse, and Clint's amazed by the how big it is and everything, and looking at things, and he's looking around at all the swords and everything, and then he's walking around by himself, and at one point hears something, and Jack comes at him with a sword, and that's how it ends.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting, because like every episode has ended pretty similar to this so far.
Yeah.
Where it's like every episode ends with somebody surprising somebody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or like a reveal. The last episode
was like the butterscotch thing. And then,
yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting. Yeah, but overall, I liked the episode. I mean, it's not my favorite of the three, but it was pretty good. Here's some, like, Easter eggs I found online about this episode. About Echo, in the montage of Echo's life, we see her easily defeat a male boxer. I guess the same thing appears in the comic book Daredevil number 9.
Yeah.
So, in the comics, Echo's father, who is named Willie Crazy Horse Lincoln, he was actually killed by Wilson Fisk and not Ronan.
No.
The part of about him leaving a bloody handprint on her face as he died was loyal to the source material, albeit in a different spot. There's a blue hand turkey that we spot in Maya's childhood bedroom when she talks to her father, kind of foreshadows this bloody handprint, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Willie refers to Maya as his little dragon, which, it's interesting because, that was also Bruce Lee's nickname.
Oh, wow.
So, the uncle is obviously references to Wilson Fisk, who is in the comic books, as who raises her as her uncle, even though he killed her father, but she didn't know that. So, in the comics, so, basically, in fact, there's a conversation between Echo and her father about being deaf in a regular school and the existence of dragons. It also kind of might be a kind of a play on the fact that the next Netflix Marvel universe isn't necessarily connected to this universe, but we're probably going to somehow connect them here,
mm-hmm.
And there's like, they're in another dragons are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Kingpin, and he's from another world, as dragons are, right. So it could be a lot of,
Yeah.
Yeah,
And plus, too, she said, can dragons learn how to live in our world? So it's like,
Yeah.
Can they make these worlds, these narrative worlds, come together, type of thing?
And we're going to get a lot of that in the multiverse of madness and Spider-Man and things of that nature that are coming up soon. We finally get the name for Pizza Dog, which is the name that's in the comic books for the dog, so.
Which is Pizza Dog.
Yeah, it's it's more of a fan nickname for the comics version, whose original name was Arrow.
Arrow.
By
the way, don't feed your dogs pizza, by the way. It's not good for them. No.
So Clint ended up changing the name to Lucky in the comics. So Lucky the pizza dog. So is what fans call him. So the hideout of the Tracksuit Mafia, as we said before, is a former KB Toys. The thing I find funny is the ball pit that they fight in at one point, those balls should have been really dusty and maybe not taken care of, and I don't understand why it's... So, anyways...
Yeah, or maybe they filled it up with fresh because they play there.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
You know, they ship in fresh, you know, ball pit, you know, toys or whatever.
Yeah. And that was a huge fucking KB toy store. I don't know if there anything like that actually ever existed in New York, but whatever.
Yeah.
So in the comics, Kazi, who is played by Frey Free in this TV show, is a character known as the Clown in the comics. Yeah. He's a mercenary hitman who came to the United States after a traumatic childhood in an Eastern European country.
Mm.
So far here he's being played as lieutenant to Maya, but we'll see if he ends up, you know, going down a darker path where he becomes this. In the comics he wears like a mime outfit, and he's known as the Clown and kills people.
Wow.
So there is a point early on where Clint is. Asked by, it says that that Ronan is dead, and asks and is asked who killed Ronan, and he says Black Widow, which isn't really untrue because it was Natasha who stopped his killing sprees in Endgame.
Yeah,
or was it Infinity War, whatever, one of those.
It was Endgame.
Yeah, it was Endgame. Yeah, I get all those confused. So, yeah, it was Endgame. That's pretty much what I found here when it comes to Easter eggs. I'm going to give Den of Geek some credit for that because that's where I found most of those. So, some on Slash Film as well. So, there we go. So, anyways, any other final thoughts here, Matt, on this episode before we wrap things up here?
Nope.
Any speculation as to what's going to happen in the next episode?
I think it's going to be revealed that Jack was Clint's mentor.
Yeah.
Kind of like how he was in the comic books. I don't know if he's going to be the same swordsman, you know, from the comic books or anything like that. Hero or whatever.
There might be some kind of connection, at least.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if they're going to recognize each other, but then, like, not acknowledge it in front of everyone else. So just kind of sort of, like, have a secret understanding. They know each other type of thing. I don't know. Because at one point, I'm not sure how they got this footage, but it showed Kate and Clint on one side of the table and Jack and what's her mom's name? I forgot her
Eleanor.
Name. Yeah, Jack and Eleanor on the other side of the table, and like they're basically like trying to explain like what was going on, like why they're together, you know, or something. I don't know who had the footage, but it seems like it was at least a couple episodes away, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's in a it was in a preview for one of the upcoming episodes. So,
oh, okay,
yeah, right. Or like in the trailer for the main show in general. So
yeah, I'm not sure if they're gonna
actually publicly acknowledge that they know each other, or if they're going to have like a conversation in like secret, like, hey, you know, I know who you are. I don't, you know who I am.
Yeah. Type
of thing. I'm not sure, but
I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Yeah. So that would be kind of cool. Still not sure if Jack is really a villain or if he's just a guy, you know, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens. I do think there's going to be some kind of reveal there, like you said, about Jack. Hopefully quickly, because we've only got, you know, 3 more episodes.
I know. They should really make these shows like at least 8 episodes, not 6. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It seems a little bit... not enough.
It just sucks, though, because they do have a lot of episodes on some of these shows, and honestly, nothing happens. It's like, you know, it's sometimes you're just spinning wheels for a while, too. So maybe 6 is good, but it did seem like this episode was really spinning wheels too much.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a car chase. Anyways, anything else here, Matt, before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I just want to play a little tribute to the Hawkeye.
Okay, before we end with that, though, just make sure you check out alltoreal2.com and our give us a 5-star review on anywhere you can. But until next time, here's Matt playing a song.
Yeah, it's called Hawkeye and Pizza Dog and Kate Bishop.
Okay.
That's the name of the song.
Beautiful.
So, beautiful, yeah. All right.
Mask, wear a condom. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.